is prime time action here on VSiN and MSG Plus. I'm Jeff Parles. Happy to be with you. Adam Candy, Danielle Alvari, Ben Wilson. We're all here. The gang's all back together again, Adam Candy. And that's a very good thing, because at least now with Danielle back, we know someone on this table has to win a bet.
Oh, geez. That's a lot of pressure. We only have one run at the top of this Blue Jays game here, so I need a couple more before we get to the fifth inning.
Well,
Adam's rendered speechless, guys.
No. I just thought you were going to tell us what's going on there in Boston, because, frankly, there's not a lot of action elsewhere around the Major League Baseball card here at the moment.
No, the Red Sox have them loaded and a run already home in the bottom of the second against the Blue Jays. There's nobody out, so plenty of time for Danielle to get some runs here to get closer to her over six in the first five innings.
Base is loaded.
Yes,
love that.
Yes, nobody out, too. Red Sox have been been great at moving runners along with runners on second and nobody out this year. Adam Candy, the only other game going, no score in Philadelphia heading to the fourth inning between the Nats and the Phils. But you have something that you're interested in at Wrigley Field tonight. Kyle Hendricks for the Cubs, Wade Miley for the Reds. Hendricks at DraftKings, a -140 favorite with a total of 8.5 juiced over.
These are markets that I'm going to give you if you have the ability to bet on them in your jurisdiction, because here in Nevada, we do not have these available. But some micro markets in this game going into the pitcher and hitter matchups. Joey Votto against Kyle Hendricks. So Joey Votto, the first baseman for the Cincinnati Reds. He's Canadian, so we know he loves a few things. Poutine, Tim Hortons, and facing Kyle Hendricks. 24 of the 45 plate appearances that Joey Votto has had against Kyle Hendricks, he has reached base. His StatCast data is through the roof. Expected batting average of .374. Expected slugging percentage of .729. If you're going to take a shot on a home run, one of these bets that you can get 4-5-1 in most spots, Joey Votto is not a bad one. 4-1 on the home run. If you want something a little more conservative, over 1.5 total bases, -110 for Votto with that slugging percentage, I love. And our friends at DraftKings also have some matchups between players for total bases. One that I really like is Joey Votto against Javier Baez. Joey Votto is +115 against Javi Baez. Javi Baez has terrible numbers historically against Wade Miley. I would lean toward Joey Votto at plus money in that spot. On the other side of this, Chris Bryant, the Las Vegas native, he sees Wade Miley, and it's like a slot machine for him. Just let's see the coins keep coming out. .377 expected batting average, .626 expected slugging. And Wade Miley, as we've talked about, has a no-hitter to his credit this year, Jeff, but is a guy who has had some numbers go his way. Home run to fly ball rate under 9% on the year for Wade Miley. Chris Bryant has not had the season that I think he would hope for, but 3-1 for a home run, over 1.5 total bases, -105. I think you could take a look at both Votto and Bryant in this game with those numbers that they have against Hendricks and Miley.
So Adam Candy looking the way of a few hitters tonight in Wrigley. No play on either. No play in a traditional sense, correct?
No play on either side. I think this is actually appropriately lined with Hendricks being on a decent run right now at -130. But look, the Reds somehow are four games over .500, and this Cubs team, despite the fact that we know it's kind of playing out the string to the trade deadline here to see what happens, Kyle Hendricks has still been very good for them over the last month.
A few other games going, but for our New York audience, we'll hop to the second leg of the doubleheader that's just about underway at Citi Field. The Mets will go with a bullpen game. Aaron Loop is going to start as an opener for the Mets. Bryce Wilson will go for the Braves, who won the opener of this double dip 2-0 behind a great pitching performance from Kyle Muller. Even with a bullpen game, the Mets are still -170, Adam.
Well, the New York Mets are 52-45. Their closest competitor is the Philadelphia Phillies, who are at .500. And yet somehow the Phillies are only 3.5 games back. There is some urgency here for the Mets. But that said, Jeff, that is a large number on a bullpen game for New York at -170.
The Mets have lead the majors in doubleheaders. This is doubleheader number 11. They have not been swept in a doubleheader so far this year. They have split 8 of those doubleheaders, the previous 10, already. It is primetime action here on VSiN and MSG+. I'm Jeff Parles, Adam Candy, Danielle Alvari, Ben Wilson here on the program. Happy to be with you. In for Kelly Bidlin and Matt Brown and Gil Alexander. Danielle back from vacation. It's good to have Danielle back. Hopefully she gives you some winners tonight across the Major League Baseball landscape. But now with us, the NBA draft usually is about a week after the NBA Finals, and it is on Thursday of this week, and Rashad Phillips of the One of One podcast with us right now. Rashad, thank you for being with us tonight, and I just want to start out with what has been the biggest mover in the betting markets. Jalen Green, who was in the G League a year ago, about 3 weeks ago, he was about plus 140 to be the second overall pick. Evan Mobley was actually the favorite to be that pick. Now Jalen Green, a huge favorite at DraftKings, minus 320 to be the second overall pick to the Houston Rockets. What makes him the correct pick for the Rockets at number two, Rashad?
I don't think he's so sure about that one, Jeff.
We'll get Rashad back, and we'll ask him again on Jalen Green in a second. Yes,
let me ask you about Jalen Green, because when we were watching the NCAA tournament, Jeff, Jalen Suggs was a guy where, as he was making that run, was getting some talk as even a potential number one pick alongside Cade Cunningham. Now we see Jalen Suggs down to 7-1. Is it just about measurables? Is it about the pre-draft workout process? What do you think has knocked Suggs down and pushed Green up?
To me, and I'm curious to see what others have to think about this, Adam, I think we're going to start seeing a more of a lean towards G League guys who play, go to skip college and go to the G League over guys who played in college, no matter how good they were. And Jalen Suggs, of course, was an absolute beast in the postseason. We have Rashad Phillips back. Rashad, thanks for being with us tonight. And I'll just go through this one more time for you here. Second overall pick market has been the most intriguing betting market just because of how big it has moved. Jalen Green was about plus 140 about 3.5-4 weeks ago. Now he is a huge favorite at DraftKings to go second overall at minus 320 for the G League prospect. What makes Jalen Green the right pick for Houston at number two?
Well, I think what Houston is looking for is a player that's exciting, that kind of moves the needle and brings some electricity. And I believe Jalen Green checks all those boxes. So that's why he's starting to heat up in regards to going to Houston.
Favored for the number two pick. We get to the odds for the third overall pick, and Evan Mobley has become not prohibitive, but a pretty decent favorite at minus 205 to go to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Obviously, we saw during that tournament run for USC, Rashad, all of the skills of Evan Mobley on display. Where do you think his best fit is on the floor in the NBA?
I think he's one of those hybrid post guys that can shows a lot of versatility. His ability to knock down shots from 16 to 17 feet, also be an anchor on the defensive side of the ball as far as altering shots, blocking shots, getting deflections, using his motor to get up and down. He's one of those players that you don't have to run offense for. He's kind of mastered having a nose for the ball and being able to kind of fit anywhere no matter the surroundings.
Rashad Phillips with us right now here on Primetime Action, the host of the One of One podcast, NBA draft analyst as well. Rashad, let's keep moving on down. We'll move to the fourth pick. Jalen Suggs right now, the betting favorite at DraftKings at minus 160. Evan Mobley at 2-1 to fall to number four. And then Scotty Barnes, the Florida State product, at 3-1. We saw how great Suggs was in the throughout the entire season at Gonzaga, especially through the NCAA tournament run for the Zags to the championship game before coming up short against Baylor. How do you think Suggs translates to the league? And if he is number four, how good of a fit is that with the Toronto Raptors, especially with it looking like Kyle Lowry is going to go somewhere else?
I like Suggs a lot. I think he plays the game from the neck up. He has great IQ, just kind of understands space and play, terrific speed. And when you pair him with a guy like a Fred VanVleet, and this is assuming Kyle Lowry is gone, you continue to give yourself that dynamic backcourt. In order to win games and have a chance in this league, you have to have guard play. So Toronto adding a player like that puts them right back in position to start fighting for playoff spots.
Rashad, our friends at DraftKings have odds up for who will go in the top 10. It's a list of prospects that I've seen ranked anywhere from 7 through about 15. But one name jumped out at me at even money on Davion Mitchell from Baylor. The combination of shooting, the defense. This is a guy who obviously we got to see the full range of his skills on display in the NCAA tournament. Do you believe that Davion Mitchell should be a top 10 pick in this draft?
I do. I think the body of work, what he's done, what he's shown on film, I mean, the proof is in the pudding. I think a lot of times, you know, teams overthink these draft picks. They get caught up in the measurables. But there's one thing that you can't measure in these players, and that's their heart. And Davion Mitchell was one of those players that has plays fearless. He's competitive, and he does things outside of the stat sheet that you just can't really find in this draft. So I definitely believe he should be a top 10 pick.
Rashad, one of the guys who seems to be moving up the draft board as we get closer to the draft on Thursday is Moses Moody out of Arkansas, who obviously had a tremendous year for the Hogs this past year. Plus 155 to go in the top 10. For Moses Moody, his draft slot right now is 11.5, with the expectation is he will go before 11 at minus 140. What do you think of Moody as an NBA prospect, and do you think he is top 10 worthy?
I do. I like what Sacramento is sitting at. I think they have the 9th pick, and obviously there's been chatter about Buddy Hield maybe leaving. So in order to kind of fill that void, if Buddy Hield leaves, Moses Moody will be the right choice. He's a player that does a terrific job of being a spot-up shooter, a lot like Buddy Hield. He has to get better as far as putting the ball on the floor and creating his own shot, but it's a kid that has great intellect. He's interviewed well. Every team that I've spoken with said the kid is this very cerebral. So I think he's the right pick at 9 for Sacramento.
Are there any guys, Rashad, hanging out in this top 10 discussion that you've seen, whether it's mock drafts or whether it's people that we've talked about thus far, who you think the market might be overvaluing a little bit?
No, I really don't. I think this is one of those – this draft is pretty deep. You know, there's some really good players in this draft. I like all the guys that are slotted in the top 10. I've watched film on pretty much all the kids. I mean, obviously you can nitpick everybody's game, but as far as draft class and strength, this lottery right here of these guys are very strong.
Rashad Phillips with us right now, NBA draft analyst, host of the One of One podcast. Rashad, as we go down the board here, DraftKings has draft positions on basically most guys who are going to be drafted in this NBA draft. Is there someone that you are expecting to go a little bit higher than you have seen projected so far in these mock drafts and what you have looked at here, Rashad?
No, not really. You know, like the draft is such a weird science. I really don't know. I mean, like, I look at a kid like Cam Thomas. I mean, I'm really high on him. He could go from anywhere from 10 to 28. Like, that's his range. So we don't really know what these teams are going to do once the clock starts ticking. But it's really hard to look at these prospects and say, well, I don't believe he should go here or there. I do think that Cam Thomas is one of the players that I'm really going to be paying attention to. Because he has such both aspects of the game. You got people that don't like him, and you got people who absolutely love him. So it's going to be a weird dynamic to see where he ends up in the draft.
Cam Thomas right now, the LSU product, 22.5 is the draft position on Cam Thomas. He's Rashad Phillips. Get him on the tweets at RP3Natural. He's the host of the One of One podcast and, of course, covering the NBA draft as well. Rashad, thank you for being with us tonight.
Thanks for having me, fellas. See you Thursday.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to it. The NBA draft, actually, will be live at the Barclays Center with fans in attendance on Thursday night, 8 o'clock Eastern time, Adam Candy.
You know, this is going to be a fascinating draft, I think, once we get past about the first five picks, because as Rashad was talking about, I think there are a number of guys that you and I have even discussed here tonight, Jeff, where if they go at 6, I wouldn't be surprised. If they go at 9, 10, 11, I wouldn't be surprised. I think we do need to discuss the trade that just happened today. The Valanciunas trade, Steven Adams, and some draft picks exchanged between Memphis and New Orleans, because we start to talk about who will move around, who will move up, and this was a fairly significant trade in terms of some starters and first-round picks moving.
I'm happy you brought it up. So the trade that happened today between Memphis and New Orleans, the always beloved in-division trade, which in the NBA doesn't matter like it does in some other sports. Valanciunas goes from Memphis to New Orleans along with the 17th pick and the 51st pick in this year's NBA draft. The Grizzlies get Steven Adams, Eric Bledsoe, the number 10 overall pick and the 40th pick in this year's draft. And then a 2022 pick from the Lakers that's going to be top 10 protected this year, Adam Candy. And I will say this. Memphis has now been rumored after this trade to try to even get up further in the draft. Scotty Barnes seems to be the guy that they're looking after. And look, with the way that Memphis is built, another lanky, athletic guy like Barnes would probably be a pretty good fit for Memphis if they can get high enough on the board to get him.
I have to be frank about this. I don't get this trade for the Pelicans, and I love it for Memphis.
Okay.
I really do, because unless the idea for the Pelicans is we need to find someone to make Zion happier, we need someone who can take some of the banging inside and operate in that range for Valanciunas, they gave up a lot in this deal by giving up not only the number 10 pick and a second round, but then also that protected first from the Lakers that they acquired in the Anthony Davis trade, one of the picks they acquired in the Anthony Davis trade. And if you look at it from the Memphis point of view, Steven Adams is no slouch, and that's a guy who is going to fit Memphis very well in terms of what he offers defensively inside. Eric Bledsoe is still a useful rotation player, and we saw what Memphis had building against Utah in the first round this year.
I'm a little surprised that Memphis gave up Valanciunas, though, because that felt like a guy who fit that system pretty well, worked well with Ja, was a obviously, on top of being a tremendous rebounder, can really score the basketball inside. And look, Steven Adams, you know he's going to rebound, not going to give you much offensively. Eric Bledsoe, as our resident Wisconsinite Ben Wilson knows as well as anyone, Eric Bledsoe could be on either end of the spectrum, really good or just absolutely unplayable. But look, this trade is clearly made to move up in the draft and probably try to flip 10 into something higher to get one of those prospects they really like.
And if you do, then you think about it this way, Jeff. You're just talking about a Scotty Barnes kind of player. If that's the kind of player you bring in, then I'm not worried about losing the Valanciunas scoring, right? Because I get the rebounding back with Steven Adams, and then I reasonably project what I'm going to get next year out of Ja Morant and Dylan Brooks and say, if both of those guys take a step forward in terms of their ability to score the basketball and Ja's ability to distribute the basketball, then I think that's going to improve the rest of the team offensively, incrementally. And remember, Triple J really didn't play much at all for this team this year.
Barely played because of injury throughout the year. And look, at Memphis winning a play, even though, again, it was an odd circumstance, winning a play-in game against the team, again, I know Golden State, this is the year they're going to get really back into contention, but winning a road playoff game in a one-and-done scenario against a team with Steph Curry It's still a pretty impressive feat, Adam.
It really is. And again, I know that there's potentially a little bit of short-term hit here for Memphis, but I love the long-term view of this, that if you're going to build around Ja and around Dylan Brooks, that you get these picks, and whether you move up in this draft or whether you just build assets and hold that first-round pick next year as something that you can package up with what is likely to be a lower first-round pick that you have next year as well to move up in next year's draft, then I think Memphis is on the right track.
The again, the Grizzlies with a player at the caliber of Ja Morant, take advantage of him being on a lighter contract that, again, after year four, you're going to have to give him that big deal that will inevitably be an RFA re-sign for the Memphis Grizzlies. And, of course, on the New Orleans side here, they had been rumored that they really like Corey Kispert. And Corey Kispert, I think, properly has gone down draft boards as the draft has gotten closer. Picking him at 17 makes a whole heck of a lot more sense than picking him at number 10, Adam.
Yeah, Corey Kispert is 3-1 to go in the top 10. And listen, I know what you're going to think about Corey Kispert. Is he going to be able to create his own shot in the NBA? Did put up some good measurables at the draft workouts, so not impossible that he is a guy who might be able to blossom in the NBA. That being said, I'm not picking him at 10. I would pick him at 17.
Danielle Avari's first five over has some life again.
Yeah.
We'll update you on what's going on at Fenway, what's going on in Queens and across Major League Baseball. That's next here on Primetime Action on MSG Plus and Visa.
The DraftKings Sportsbook now and get a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Simply download the app and use promo code VSIN to get started with the only top-rated sportsbook that matters, DraftKings. You can bet on it. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full terms and conditions. Jeff.
Thank you, Danielle. It is Primetime Action here on VSIN. Adam Candy's in between Danielle and I. She's Danielle Avari. I'm Jeff Parles. Ben Wilson is here. It took an hour and 20 minutes, but all of us have annoyed our downstairs producer, Isaiah Wrinkle. So the over is actually cashed.
Oh, can you hang on? I'm getting a call that I got to take here. the call actually might be going to the Mets bullpen here,
yes.
Jeff, as Juris Familia is in some trouble here,
yes,
with pair runners on and nobody out in the second inning. It's the Mets in danger of going down after losing the first game of that doubleheader. We said a moment ago, thought -170 might be a little heavy on the Mets in a bullpen game.
Yeah, and I would say right now the live price at DraftKings is still a little heavy. The Mets are still -140.
Oh, my.
Even with Familia in this jam, even though it would not shock me if we see a double play here based off that number, Adam. But regardless, the Mets -140, total 6.5, 7-inning game, second of a doubleheader. Atlanta won game one, 2-0, behind Kyle Muller with a really good performance for Atlanta. The other games going on right now, it has not gone well for Philly. Spencer Howard was good for 3 innings. Adam, it blew up on him in the fourth. 4 for Washington and a 4-0 Nats lead as they play in the bottom of the fourth. Live total right on where it was pre-flop at 9.5.
May I stay elsewhere in the National League for a moment, where one Joseph Votto has homered in his first at-bat against Kyle Hendricks.
Look at you, Adam Candy.
Number 15 on the year for Joey Votto. And listen, I hope you played it because I couldn't. So the Cubs get a home run in the first inning from Anthony Rizzo off Wade Miley, 2-1, Chicago with the lead here in top of the second.
Yeah, Cubs -280 favored now at DraftKings as that game goes along. Other scores going on right now. I'm not sure how the Tigers did not score in the top of the first inning. Their runner at third and one out against the Twins. And
yeah, you'd think they would have.
Yeah, I would have expected them to there, Danielle. No score. The
three
Twins.
Straight strikeouts is your answer.
Oh, that sounds like something the Tigers would do, which, by the way.
Hold on. Did you say the Tigers might strike out three times in a row? Could that possibly happen? Interesting that that happened tonight, guys. Danielle, I heard we have a big anniversary that we need to celebrate. You hit a milestone in your betting career? Is that accurate?
Yeah, my NBA bet in game six was my 500th loss.
I feel like we should have a special video for loss number 500, like a birthday-themed video, like cake or something like that.
You're just trying to distract the audience from what just happened in Minnesota now.
No. That's what I'm trying to get back at Danielle for pointing out my Dane Dunning bet when she already knew what had happened, just wanting
for
to relive
record,
the misery one more time.
480 and 500, that's the record. So it could be worse, you know. And so a lot of those were golf that I got rid of. You don't want to bet any golf outrights. Take it from me. If you're not an avid golf watcher.
If you're not Wes Reynolds or Brady Cannon at this point.
Yeah, it is hard to win a golf outright, let me tell you.
So no score in Minnesota. Danielle needs something lucky there with two outs. And Danielle, maybe we just should have just cut it off right there at the 10-0 stretch.
You guys jinxed me hard.
The Royals and the White Sox, no score. So that one goes down. As well. Oh, here we go.
There it is. Oh, yes. The hot
mess. I feel like I never get the fisherman. I always get the girl spilling the milkshake.
Work on it.
Okay.
So wait. Oh, yeah. There we go.
Thank you.
That's what. See, instead of a special video, you just get two for your 500th. Very impressive.
Yeah. You got to look at life like with your milkshake half full.
How is it possible, Adam, that I've been here for a week and I didn't get the fisherman at all last week?
How is it possible? I don't know. Isaiah is so distracted by everyone's phones that he's not punching up the right videos, apparently. Two all, by the way, between Toronto and Boston there in the bottom of the third. That game has a pregame total of 11.5 that, frankly, is starting to trend that direction here toward that number or over.
Well, speaking of said number, it's right on it right now. It's 11.5 juiced over right now. Red Sox... all these numbers are pretty similar. Red Sox, basically the same number they were pre-flop right now, -135 at the dish with one out in the bottom of the third inning. There have been a lot of hard hit balls in that game, and Danielle has first 5-6. I think you'll get there in the end, Danielle.
Who's Thomas Hatch? Let's not jinx anymore.
Thomas Hatch?
Yeah. Who is it? What is a Thomas Hatch?
I believe that's the person that our dorm freshman year at Missouri was, Ben. That's who I think that was.
I feel like this Hatch is giving a chilly reception to Boston.
Oh, love it. I knew you were hatching up something over there.
Love you, folks.
We're going to the Big 12 next here on Primetime Action. We'll hopefully have some better jokes for you on the other side here on VSiN and MSG Plus.
See you.
Football betting guides are coming soon, and there's no better way to prepare for the college and pro football seasons. Our experts provide profiles of every team with advanced stats and power ratings, plus best bets on season win totals, division finishes, and player awards. Each guide is only $20, and discounts are available when you buy both. Now's the time to reserve your copy or sign up for the VSiN All Access Pass and get everything we offer for the entire football season. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. Jeff.
Been a fun show so far here on Primetime Action on MSG Plus and VSiN. I'm Jeff Parles, Adam Candy, Danielle Alvari, Ben Wilson here as well. Isaiah Wrinkle went one segment without yelling with us, so we have successfully moved on now to the Big 12, Adam Candy. And our producer, Ben Wilson, reminding me that we were supposed to talk about this on Friday, and then the news of Aaron Rodgers looks like he's going to retire, according to some reports from SI that sportsbooks were preparing for that with pulling Packer odds off the boards. And, of course, now Aaron Rodgers looks like he's going to play for the Green Bay Packers. And now the numbers are basically all back to what they were. So we'll go to the Big 12 now. And this may be the last hurrah for the Big 12 in football with the news today that Oklahoma and Texas have officially let the Big 12 know that they will not renew their contract in 2025. if they are still in the Big 12 Conference for the 2022-2023 academic year. That would be an upset, in my opinion, Adam. And Oklahoma, a minus 180 favorite to win the Big 12 yet again. Iowa State, the team they met in the Jerry's world last year, plus 285. Texas, 8-1. Oklahoma State, 11-1. TCU, 15-1. Everyone else, Adam Candy, north of 25-1 in the Big 12 for football this year. Of course, these odds from DraftKings.
So, Jeff, I would say that if you happen to have somewhere in your house, maybe in your backyard, your garage, a wheelbarrow full of money, I might take it to the sports book and bet it on the Oklahoma Sooners, because there's not another team in this conference that I think is remotely close to Oklahoma. You see Iowa State there at plus 275, largely based on the idea that Brock Purdy and Breece Hall are back. Look, Brock Purdy is fine under a clean pocket. When Brock Purdy faces pressure, he falls apart. And that is not a good quality for you to have in a quarterback that you want to be competing for a spot in the college football playoff, to be competing with Oklahoma when you have to go to Norman in your biggest game of the year to play against this Oklahoma team. Breece Hall, look, he put up 1,500 yards last year. He also had 30 more carries than the closest running back anywhere in FBS. He got it on volume to put up that huge number. So, Jeff, that's my take on Iowa State. I think they're overrated at that number. Texas is the closest at 8-1, and you're basically projecting out Steve Sarkisian with a couple of quarterbacks that you have no idea if they're going to be any good.
So this is a very easy handicap for me. You remember what we said about the Buffalo Bills being a great bet at minus 150, even though you're laying a price, Adam Candy, in the AFC East? I don't care that you're laying $1.80. This is, of all the college football bets, and look, I expect Alabama to win the SEC. I expect Ohio State to get there in the Big Ten. I expect Clemson to get there in the ACC. But at least, maybe not the Big Ten, but in the SEC, you can at least point to Georgia and say, all right, on the right day, in Atlanta, Georgia can beat Alabama. In the ACC, look, it may be a little bit of a stretch, but on the right day, and Chris Felica said this to us last week, Adam, that on the right day, North Carolina, with Sam Howell, could beat Clemson on the right day. You mentioned it. Brock Purdy, first off, how is he still in college? And I imagine that he won't be the only one we'll say that about this year because of the COVID rules giving everyone an extra year of eligibility. Brock Purdy, I'm not going to be as kind as you were there. I don't think there's a quarterback that garners as much respect in the country as Brock Purdy that doesn't deserve it on his on-field play. He's not a good quarterback. And when he gets pressured, like you said, he is a mess, a turnover machine. And Breece Hall, again, might be the best running back in the country. Might be, period. But when you are asked to do so much, like you said, just so many more carries in a year where, again, a lot of places played six games of college football. Heck, they're a Pac-12 team that played one game of college football last year in Utah. So what's the freshness going to be like later in the season for Hall? And look, Iowa State, I just don't see it. Maybe you upset them in Norman, but they're not beating them twice, Adam.
So think about this. If you say to yourself, all right, I'm thinking about betting down the board on the idea that maybe Spencer Rattler tweaks an ankle at some point. Maybe he doesn't play the entire season for some reason. Oklahoma has another five-star right behind him. So it's not like Lincoln Riley is in any trouble if Spencer Rattler goes down. And Spencer Rattler, last year, as a freshman, Pro Football Focus graded him the fourth-best quarterback in the country by his performance. He was the best quarterback in the country, converse to Brock Purdy, under pressure. He's a freshman. He did not look great in the first two, three games of the season, and then he looked like every bit the guy who is a Heisman favorite. It's real with Spencer Rattler. He has the weapons around him. When it comes to this Big 12, there's really nobody else that I get involved with in terms of champions. The other thing with Oklahoma, when we start talking about win totals, this team at 11, juiced evenly both sides, is an insult to all form of baked goods to call that a cupcake schedule. That is as easy a non-conference schedule as any power team will ever have. Now, that increases the pressure on Oklahoma in the Big 12, because if they want to go to the CFP, they cannot lose in the Big 12 with what they have in the non-con.
Why? Come on. Don't go after Tulane like that. Come on. That's a somewhat of a real team. But Western Carolina, yeah, that's not what you're looking for there in the non-con. And then they are playing Nebraska, But Nebraska, as we documented last week, not so good. If we go back to the win totals real quick here for the conference, one that's a little intriguing. I'm not a huge fan of the juice, but TCU over 7.5 is intriguing here, Adam, because Gary Patterson's a good coach, and TCU has underachieved now the last two seasons. And again, there's only so much you can take from last year. But if you're looking to bet a TCU over, I don't hate that at 7.5. The only concern is two of their non-con games are not gimmies. They do play Cal, they play SMU, but they play both of those games in Fort Worth, Adam, and that is a big advantage in the Cal game. And again, I know SMU is also in the Metroplex as well, but an advantage to have those games at home. And look, other than at Oklahoma and at Iowa State, TCU is going to probably be close to, or if not a favorite, a small dog in a lot of those games, Adam.
Yeah, I think if you're going to play this number, it's pretty much going to come down to how do you handicap West Virginia and then the Iowa State game at the end of the year. I think you could be sitting right on that 7 when they get to Iowa State and have to win that game, depending on how a couple things play out for them.
When we get back, we'll be prop watch, Shohei style. I'll tell you about it for Shohei Ohtani, who is doing a bolt tonight. The on the mound, at the dish. That's next here on Primetime Action on MSG Plus and VSiN.
Are you VIP material? DraftKings VIPs enjoy exclusive benefits, enhanced promotional offers, top-tier customer support, access to personalized contests, and more. Visit DraftKings.com/VSiN to learn more. Plus, everyone can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, and new customers can get up to $1,000 as a sign-up bonus. Sign up using the promo code VSiN to claim your exclusive offer. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem and wants help, please call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Must be 21 or older. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And now it is time for Prop Watch. All right, so obviously the basketball season has ended, but the Angels face the Rockies tonight, so we're taking a look at some Shohei Ohtani props here for Prop Watch because he is going to be pitching tonight and, of course, hitting as well. So strikeouts prop sitting at 6.5 here, slight juice to the over at minus 128, and then to record a hit, minus 340, to record two or more hits, plus 155, and to hit a home run sitting at plus 240, these odds via FanDuel. Jeff, what do you think?
So let's look at the batting props first. Herman Marquez will go for the Rockies. Herman Marquez is a piece that should be traded at the deadline by Colorado. It was an all-star this year. But the one weird thing with Marquez is he has been better at Coors Field in Denver than he has been away from Coors Field, which is completely opposite of what you would normally anticipate. And that's really been the case, actually, for the whole Colorado staff this year. So if you're looking at this, maybe you get a struggle from Marquez tonight on the road, away from the very surprisingly beloved confines of Coors Field for a pitcher. So maybe you take a shot on Ohtani to record two hits at plus 155. Of course, you have the issue of what if Ohtani has a bad outing, and the opposite side of that would be, again, I would like to, if I knew what the number would be on the to record zero hits tonight on Ohtani, that would be the other way I'd look at it. Either go for the big night or go for no night at all offensively for Ohtani.
Well, Jeff, since you asked that question, if only I could provide that information for you. Roughly 7-1, or I should say 1-7, on the no for Shohei Ohtani to have a hit tonight. And here's the thing. Shohei Ohtani is obviously a prime MVP candidate. He has been a world-class hitter. except when he pitches. The numbers when Ohtani is on the mound for his hitting are not great. He is a 250 hitter this year when he pitches. He has one home run when he has been a pitcher. He has not attempted a single steal. He's a guy where when he's focused on the pitching, the hitting is there only in spirit. And those are games I'm also including, Jeff, when he's pitched and then moved into the outfield after that. So I would not be on any of the Shohei Ohtani props in terms of what he might do positively as a hitter. Let's talk about that strikeout prop, though.
Go ahead.
6.5 on the strikeout prop. He has become a markedly better pitcher here after the first month of the season. The walks were a major issue in April and May. 26 walks in 35 innings for Shohei Ohtani. Well, in his last 36 innings, he's cut that down to 10 walks. And in July, in 13 innings, he has just one walk. Now, that's the real issue. If he's not walking batters, he's going to strike people out. The arsenal is such that Shohei Ohtani has 95 strikeouts in 73 innings. If he's got the walks cut back, I don't mind that minus 28 on 6.5 against a Rockies lineup that is not exactly smacking the ball around the field away from course.
Well, and doesn't matter where they're playing their games, they strike out a ton at him. So I don't mind that at all either. This is probably all these props are probably a stay off. Again, the only concern that I have, and you kind of lightened my concern a little bit, is if you get a night where Ohtani just can't find a strike zone, which, again, it happened a lot early in the year. It happened in that game at Yankee Stadium in that epic collapse, which was the worst loss of the day of the season that day for the New York Yankees, the one that went deep into the night in the Bronx. But all in all, the one that intrigues me the most would probably be, again, if you could give me a to record zero hits tonight. And again, it's hard to find that number up just because a lot of books aren't offering it, just because, again, the numbers you said, Adam, and Ohtani's probably only getting two at-bats tonight.
Yeah, and Shohei Ohtani, just to update you, the latest odds, minus 750 on Shohei Ohtani not to get a hit tonight.
Okay, so there you go. That's a big number, Adam Candy. That's a big number.
Yeah, let me actually, you know what, Jeff, let me double check that. I might have the wrong screen in front of me here. That is actually now off the board. That's the home run. That's the no on the home run. The hit number is actually, Ben, unless you see it somewhere, off the board.
Right, and that's actually the point I wanted to bring up here, because I was kind of scouring. Usually, you know, we go with DraftKings as sort of our, you know, our base odds look here, but like they didn't offer, MGM, basically all the East Coast books, with the exception of FanDuel, is the only one I could find that was actually offering any hitting props, which is kind of weird, because on the at first I'm like, oh, well, that makes sense. Like, they don't want people to be basically betting into a market where, yeah, he might only get the two at-bats, as you're saying. But on the flip side, wouldn't you think from the book's perspective, like, this is one of those sucker bets where, like, people are going to bet Ohtani because he is one of the most exciting players in baseball. And they're going to say, look, hey, I'll take whatever price on his hitting props because he's amazing. He just, you know, homered in the home run derby. He had these amazing hits in the home run derby and then pitched the next day. So are you guys surprised? I know you, Adam, follow props a little bit more, but are you guys surprised to not see those offered at so many of the books?
You know, I'm really not. And the reason that I'm not is just because, as we've talked about with some of the books here locally, props are underdeveloped in general, right? And the home run prop is one that will be bet significantly because of Ohtani's power. And again, apologies for my
Adam
computer there.
Candy.
Which was off. Now not off. Isaiah's going to kill me. When we look at what's going on here with Ohtani and the props, home runs are ones that are going to be bet. But when it comes to the hits, I'm not sure that you're going to get a lot of casual action on the hit prop as opposed to the home run prop. You're probably looking at more sharper action on some of the smaller markets like total bases, like hits, et cetera.
We're going to have to put Adam Candy on timeout.
There's another phone ringing right now, by the way, Jeff Parles.
You're going to go into the penalty box at some point, Adam.
I know what you're thinking.
I get 2 minutes off? Fantastic.
I know what you're thinking. I'm not as popular, but I'm the only one with my phone silenced up here. Okay?
My phone is silenced. That was actually my computer relaying the call from my silenced phone.
Oh my goodness. If you're looking at the traditional sense of betting this Angels-Rockies game, the Angels minus 150, Adam. Low total 7.5. No shock with Ohtani and Marquez, who are both were all-stars pitching wise this year. Of course, Ohtani starting that game. Rockies plus 140. Look, the Rockies have been brutal away from Coors Field, and that's why they're going to be sellers at the trade deadline, Adam. But plus 140, yeah, with their best pitcher on the mound, is that worth a shot tonight against Ohtani?
If I trusted this offense at all, it would be. Frankly, the only way I might look in this might be at an over, just because once you get into the bullpens for both of these teams, you're probably going to have some opportunities to score runs. And 7.5 is such a low total in a Major League Baseball game in 2021, in which we have Bobby Baseball's fake runner in extra innings to run up the scores. So 7.5, look maybe toward the over in that. That's the only way I'd get involved. It is juiced to minus 115.
Yeah, I'm going to probably stay off. Again, I just, there's no trusting a bad team like the Rockies, especially when, look, this might be the end for Trevor Story as a Colorado Rocky. Could be the final start for Herman Marquez as a Rocky as well.
John Heyman reporting today that the Yankees have made an offer on Trevor Story. Not sure what that offer is, but we saw earlier today Yankees made a small trade acquiring reliever Clay Holmes from Pittsburgh, an extreme ground ball guy, signaling that maybe they do think they're going to be buyers, which would be interesting for a team that is 9 games out in the AL East as of today.
Let's go to the other late game that has not started. The smoke and mirrors Seattle Mariners, who did it again over the weekend, winning 3 out of 4 over the A's. Look, at some point, Adam, I'm just going to throw my hands up and give up here on this Mariners fade, because they keep defying logic, and they have the best record in one-run games in the American League now, and are now within legitimate striking distance, a game and a half behind the A's for the second wild card. And tonight, at home, a big underdog with Darren McCaughan on the mound. Luis Garcia will get the ball for the first place. Stros, plus 155 on Seattle, total 8.5, Adam. I just can't bring myself to bet this game in any fashion.
No, the numbers, I think, are actually strangely right for the Astros being this big a favorite, because, again, we've talked plenty about this Houston team. I think that they probably are the best bet on the futures market in the American League right now, because they have so many young pitchers that maybe you haven't heard the names yet, but that have been outstanding for them this year. And tonight's starter, Luis Garcia, is one of those at the top of the list. A guy who's well more than a strikeout an inning, with very good ratios. And the offense is what it is for this Houston team. Do I want to bet it minus 170 on the road? No, I have no interest, and I am away from this game.
No play either side for either of us there. Quick updates for our MSG Plus audience in New York. The Mets, not a good start to this doubleheader. 9 innings, no runs so far, but here in game 2, still nothing as they play in the bottom of the third. And Pete Alonso, who's been red hot out of the All-Star break at the dish, and the Mets currently a minus 255 favorite live, as Alonso just flies out to the wall in dead center for the first out.
And we mentioned earlier that Jurez Familia was in some trouble for New York. First and second, nobody out. Back in the second inning, got out of that unscathed, obviously. And Pete Alonso comes a polar bear claw length away from a home run on that one.
Very, very close. Again, Alonso red hot out of the All-Star break. The team's trying to catch the Mets in the East. In Philadelphia, Nats in control 4-0 as they play in the sixth. Minus 1,100 on Washington, and plus 650 on the take back on the Phils if you want to take a chance on the Phillies coming back against the Nats bullpen. Coming up next here on Primetime Action, Anthony Becht, the former New York Jet tight end, of course, now on the Jets Radio Network pre- and post-game shows, and also as well covered the college game for ESPN as well, joins us next here on Primetime Action on MSG Plus and VSiN.